Oscar Chavez didn't plan on being a leader in the health community. In fact, while traveling on a plane, the stranger next to him said he should think about getting weight loss surgery. As you can only imagine, he was devastated. You'll hear how he transformed his life, became a contestant on the hit TV show The Voice, and transitioned from a prestigious career in cybersecurity.
Well, really started out with a software engineering background, and it honestly all just happened by mistake. So I couldn't find a job once I finished studying and ended up in sales, just found myself in sales. And from there, just really worked hard at working my way up the corporate ladder and ended up in cybersecurity eventually, which is a really emerging niche, and it's growing significantly. But I seem to be quite a diverse character. So when I first, when I was going through school, I never really did the normal thing. So I started clowning as a profession and doing magic, you know, like magic shows for kids and stuff. So I've never really been someone that fits inside the normal box. So I've always been doing kind of all this weird stuff. And then when I was really looking at, okay, how do I really build my own business and build my own legacy? And I wanted to do that through real estate first. And so, you know, working on, you know, finding deals, renovating, all that kind of stuff. And then I saw this webinar one day that just changed my life. And it was about turning something that you're passionate about into a business. And I never really had that perspective because I was like, well, you know, yeah, I can help people lose weight. And that's kind of my specialty, losing 169 pounds. And I was like, you know what? There's a real problem with the weight loss industry because it's so polluted with everybody trying to sell their, you know, online apps and not really delivering significant value to people. I was like, you know what? I've got a unique perspective on the health and fitness industry, especially because I have such a technical background and real business background, like understanding businesses and what makes them unique. And I was like, well, I'm just going to do something different, carve out a totally different unique section of the market for myself and work with people that really want to change their lives for the better. So we look for people that are really at that point where they've tried everything, because people are going out and getting surgery. And that's the point that I was at as well, where you don't know where to turn. You're full of constant frustration. You've tried everything and it doesn't work and you feel so helpless. And I was like, they're the people that I want to find, the people that were like me.
At this point in his life, Oscar is nearly 200 pounds overweight and as insecure as you could possibly imagine. Up next, you'll hear how a stranger sitting next to him on the airplane said something that left him completely wounded. Take me back to being in your airplane seat and that conversation. Like, how did that unfold? Just give me into those details. I want to hear that.
Yeah, like I'm even feeling nervous now just talking about it because it really was an impactful moment. But like as you travel everywhere, the inner dialogue that you have, and this is something that I teach my students about, is really listening to that inner voice because it's so easy to just ignore because we're busy, we're scrolling on Facebook, but really listening to that inner voice. So, you know, I was just sitting there. I was traveling to Melbourne for work, so just like any other day, and I'm sitting next to this lady, and I'm like, when I was big, I would always fold my arms on the, you know, because your arms kind of like take up half. So you're always kind of like trying to take up as little room as possible to try to inconvenience people as little as possible. So it, like your legs not touching them, because even that's awkward because you're like, oh, I'm big. And like all this inner dialogue that happens, like it really does weigh a lot on your mind. So you're not carrying just physical weight, but emotional weight as well. And I remember just sitting there, just, you know, trying to keep to myself. And I'm just, all I'm thinking is, oh, I hope this lady doesn't like think I'm taking too much room. And oh my gosh, this is awkward because we're touching shoulders. And honestly, she just turns to me, opens her mouth, says, have you considered getting lap surgery? And it was, I think about 6 weeks before that, I'd had the same conversation with my doctor. My doctor was like, you really should consider getting surgery now. And you know, and that was probably the second conversation I'd had with the doctor about the same thing. So she turned to me. I felt so embarrassed. I felt ashamed. But you know what? This lady had the best of intentions, because she said that that she had actually had the surgery, and she had lost a whole bunch of weight by going down that route as well. And she pitched it to me as, you know what, they remove part of the stomach that is responsible for your sugar cravings. I was able to lose this whole bunch of weight, and it really seemed like the magic bullet. And so my doctor was talking about it, and I was like, and so I was grateful for the conversation. I was like, you know, thank you so much. We exchanged details. We had a bit of a chat. She gave me her business card, and her name is Julianne. So if she ever listens to this, thank you. But I haven't reached out to her since. But yeah, that, it was just one of those conversations that just changes your entire destiny. Like, you know, to now, you know, working with people to help them fix their issues.
What was the emotional impact? So like, were you shocked inside? Did you cry? Did you look at it and did you see the world differently? Like, hey, I've got a timeline to my life. What was it like?
Yeah, it's one of those like moments where you feel so embarrassed that you really have to hold back the tears. Like, you feel your face flush. You know, my face went red immediately, and you know, I'm not a emotionally led guy, but I was quite emotional that day, because all this inner dialogue, she pretty much exposed it. And as a bigger person, you never want to be exposed as being big, and you always kind of joke around it, and you know, you go and shop in the plus size section and people are like, oh, we don't have your size. And gosh, that feels horrible. So you're constantly surrounded by this negativity. But yeah, that day, like, it just, yeah, it really felt terrible for her to say something to me. But at the same time, she was really gentle about it, really warm. So I was able to quickly, you know, just dust myself off and have the conversation, rather than being rude to her, or rather than being, you know, being self-defensive. You know, I didn't make excuses for myself, because I think that's one of the worst things you can do as a person, just constantly make excuses. It was a defining moment.
Even though he was self-conscious of his weight, he had the confidence to pursue things he loved. One of those things he loved was singing, and he was featured on the hit TV show The Voice. But we're going to find out if he was being extra ambitious to mask his fears and inadequacies.
It's not something that is, it's more a subconscious fear rather than a conscious one. So you go around, you go about your day, and like, I had ambitions, you know, I wanted to be a celebrity and all this kind of stuff, like the stuff that I don't want now. Like, I don't want to be known in that way. But you know, you carry yourself, and in your own eyes, it's something that you don't carry around every day. Is like, it's the front of consciousness. It's really around that subconscious problems that it creates. So yeah, so when I stepped on, we were just talking about this before, but you know, when you step on stage, you just adopt that alter ego. And, you know, I think that's probably why I love singing so much, because it just took me away from my world of problems and my, you know, lack of discipline and my emotional eating, that I was able to step on stage. People love me because they would cheer for me. And, you know, after the concert, I'd get off stage and people would be like, oh, you're amazing. Like, even after getting off stage on The Voice, the film crew, you know, all came to me and they're like, oh, you know, you're awesome, you're gonna win and stuff like this. They're like, yeah, my vote's on you and stuff. They probably say it to everyone, but you know, it felt awesome. So yeah, I was fairly ambitious, and I don't think, you know, I don't think it held me back from trying to accomplish my dreams. But you know, going through the transformation has definitely enlarged my territory. Like, it allows me to, you know, when I travel, you know, I was talking to one of my students the other day, and she was telling me that when she went to Mexico, she lost a bit of weight recently. And so she went to Mexico and she had to climb up these almighty stairs to get to the top of this like expansive hill. And with this, just with a flying fox. Do you guys say flying fox in the US? What is it called? The the cable where you hold on and it zips you across the zip line.
Oh, zip lines, yeah.
Zip line, yeah. So she walks up the hill, gets on the zip, and she's fearing, like, you know, she's trembling and she's incredibly scared. But I love it when people share their inner dialogue with me because you'd learn so much about them. And she was saying she was just so grateful in that moment that even though she was really fearful, that she was able to experience that by walking, you know, by firstly being able to walk all those stairs, because when you're in, you know, when you're in a situation of obesity, you can't just go and climb, you know, 500, 1,000 stairs. Like it's too hard on your knees, it's too hard on your ankles, it's too hard on your back. But yeah, like being able to do that stuff is just, yeah, it's truly wonderful. You know, you don't realize it when you're in that state, but it really does hold you back from a lot of stuff.
Wow. So as you're talking and explaining stuff, it seems incredibly exhausting because, one, physically exhausting, but I'm guessing because of the inadequacies, like it would be really mentally and emotionally exhausting. Is that what happens when you're in that state?
Yeah, and not a lot of people talk about this stuff, right? And this is why I think it's important to speak about it, because there is, whilst a lot of people aren't aware of it, because a lot of people don't listen to their subconscious, there is that constant negativity that's baggage. It's not just weight they're carrying. There's a few things that compound the issue, which make it worse. But the biggest, you know, like when you're walking around, you don't feel it as much. Like you start sweating and you kind of brush it off and it's kind of like, oh, or you get tired easily and that's just life, right? But for me, the biggest transformation has been the transformation of my mind to really, like, because let's say, like, I read this research article that said that like 30 to 40% of your thoughts are negative, right? About yourself. So any person, most thoughts are negative, or not most of them, but a lot of thoughts are negative. When you're in a situation of obesity, those negative thoughts become a lot louder and they become one of the loudest influences that you have in your life, like saying, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. And then all of a sudden, instead of having a really positive outlook on life or mindset, it becomes a negative mindset. No, I can't do that because I'm big, or I can't do that because I'm big. So it really does impact your quality of life. And part of the reason that I decided to, I guess, speak about stuff like this is because, you know, like I've embraced, you know, people say YOLO, you know, you only live once, but you only die once, but you live every day. So it's important to live every day, like to the best of your ability and to really have that health, because a life on the other side, like a life, you know, I would never go back to that. Like it's prison. It's a psychological prison. Being free from that is the most exhilarating feeling that you could ever experience. It's awesome.
Up next, you'll hear why eating less and working out more wasn't the answer for his weight loss transformation, and why typical thinking isn't the answer in health or in business. You've had this transformational moment because of Julia's comments. What did you do next? Like, what was that first step? Take me back there.
Yeah, I mean, before that, it was 10 years of trial and error of yo-yo diets. And so I did what all the weight loss companies said, which is eat less and exercise more. So I started going to the gym twice a day, started eating salads. And that was my solution. And that wears thin very quick because you get hungry. And what people don't realize is that food is an addictive substance. So they call it the Holy Trinity. So salt, sugar, and fat. So if you put the right amount of salt, sugar, and fat in something, it triggers a chemical release in your brain, which keeps you addicted to that feeling. So food enjoyment is very, and you know, as a burrito consumer, that when you're eating a burrito, like there's nothing else in the world, you know, like it's awesome. So
it's awesome until about 15 minutes after.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, right? But then if you have like a deep psychological attachment to the food, that's when it becomes an issue, or an unhealthy psychological attachment. So So I tried eating less, exercising more. That worked for a little while, but then I, you know, would gain the weight back. I tried like meal replacement programs where they, you know, instead of eating real stuff, you would have shakes. Again, I would get temporary results and then put the weight back on. And I'd gain more weight each time. So it was trial and error, and I kept failing. But when I really started to learn about the basics about nutrition, that's when my life changed. So one of the biggest epiphanies that I help people understand is that people that are successful and finally get the long-term results are more fearful of under-eating than overeating. And it sounds weird because you're kind of like, well, you know, you're big, so therefore you need to eat less. But that, you know, diet culture has made us all like eat really small portions. And even things in your body, like the metabolic process to burn fat, optimally create hormones, you know, keep your brain functioning, that all requires energy. Energy is found in burritos. So like, I'm a big fan of eating, like I eat like maybe 5 or 6 burritos a week. So like, I'm right into the, you know, like, give me a quesadilla, I'll eat it. It's awesome.
Okay. So now that you've understood the actual details of it, of nutrition, is that what helped you start to create the change?
Yeah, it was really the education piece. Like any great, this is what I learned, any great change starts in the mind. And it's really hard to get the mindset out there with every kind of guru trying to make it seem hard. Like, and there's even books about the last like 5 to 10 kilos, because, and I'm at the place now where I have maybe 5, like to get, you know, washboard abs, but I'm not really interested in that, right? But that portion of weight is the hardest part to lose. So what everyone does is they take those last, like those principles of the last 5 kilos, and they apply it to someone that's got this great big goal. And it's unsustainable. So even you know, elite athletes can't stay shredded all the time, because it's just an unsustainable, like you lose a night of sleep, it's game over. You miss some training, it's game over. Like, it's a very difficult process to manage. So if you apply those methodologies to someone that's got such a big goal, it's unattainable. It's unattainable. You've got to start with baby steps. Understand the mindsets, and once you understand the mindsets, then you can really get your way to freedom.
What would some of those principles be? Would you mind sharing some of those with our audience?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the biggest wake up calls for me was, so one that I mentioned first was the under eating. Like, it's really important not to under eat. That's foundational, like foundational step. The other one is to be aware of what I call, it's like fake marketed as food, or food like substances. So food like substances are things that have been heavily manufactured in order to make their price point incredibly low so that consumers can buy more of their products. So when you do that, the only way to make stuff cheap is to manufacture the hell out of it, which means taking all the nutrients out. So when you eat stuff that is high in calories, so high in energy, that doesn't actually contain nutritional value, your body stores all that as fat. So if you eat fast food, for instance, that's a very concentrated energy meal. So it has a lot of energy in it, but your body can't actually process much of that as nutrition. So if you can't process it as nutrition, you process it as fat. And so it's really important to stay away from like manufactured foods, processed foods, because that stuff is, one, it contains the holy trinity, salt, sugar, and fat, and it keeps you psychologically attuned to eating those foods. And two, you're not deriving any nutrition out of it, so you're not fueling your body properly. So they're the two cornerstones of everything I teach, because once you can free yourself from those principles, then all you need to do is the daily habits. That's it. So once you can fix those two things, and it's the daily habits that you really need to implement into your life, and then you can get there. Because, you know, 98% of people will put their weight back on after a diet, and it's just because they go, okay, eat less, exercise more. And that, they're not the first two things you need to fix to get to the end.
So, you know, as we're having this conversation, it has me thinking, and I'm looking at the parallels of this journey of weight loss and becoming healthy, and I'm looking at business and I'm saying, okay, well, what you're talking about, one was understanding the system. So that's KPIs, the metrics. And then the foundation, here you're talking about, focusing on a couple principles. So as we transition into talking about a couple of business things, how has those lessons, how have you been able to apply them to your business?
So the way I explain it is that we get to base camp first. So if you're climbing a huge mountain and you've got a big goal to hit, firstly, we've got to get you to base camp. And that's a little bit difficult. You're going to walk up a hill, but when you get to base camp, we're going to teach you about altitude sickness. We're going to teach you about all these different things that are going to come up against you along the way. So you really prepare for what's to come. Because I can't just tell someone, okay, get in the gym and exercise 5 days a week, because that doesn't hit the psychological triggers that will happen and the emotional aspect. So the first thing we do is almost like refresh their mindset. Because unless you have the right mindset, it's never going to work. And second from there is we give them the accountability and the care. So we make sure that they have regular catch-ups with their coach, that they talk through with the coach the stuff that they're struggling with, the stuff that they're struggling to implement in their lives, and the coach will help them set their own objectives. And so through that program, I've kind of gone, okay, what are the hardest things that I had to learn along the journey? And I created some content about that, and I give it to the clients so that they learn. Because once you learn all this stuff, like once you go through the process of, the mindset download, it's and you get the accountability, like it's hard to fail because you're so driven to get to the end, because you kind of have like three or four epiphany moments during the course, and you go, wow, like I've been doing it wrong my whole life. Because we work with people that have tried, 4 or 5 times, and they're frustrated, they're sick of it. And then, someone that's actually gone through the journey comes in and goes, sorry, deepest of condolences, because I went through the same thing, but you've been doing it wrong the whole time. Let's just start again. And start from the beginning, and then that way you can build to the top and get to the end of your transformation.
Okay. So the first 10 months of your business was miserable. You failed a lot. It was frustrating, as you mentioned. What was the lowest moment?
Yeah, it was... I'm writing a book about this right now. There was a moment, like, because, working like 12-hour days, 13-hour days, just trying to build something. You would know this. Every business owner goes through that moment of turmoil. But I remember it was something happened. I can't remember what happened. But I was sitting at my computer, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do some competitor research. And I stumbled across this video that was, keep in mind, I was really overworked. And I came across this video that was talking about this 2-minute ritual, because I'm like, I'm looking at the market, and so this is a very high performing product. So I watched this like video. It was like this 2-minute ritual, and it included, the art of storytelling. So this guy was talking about, turbulence on a plane, and someone was gonna die, and then all of a sudden they like landed in this like amazing paradise, and then something happened. He discovered this like doctor, which was helping people burn belly fat, and all they needed to do is. So I watched this like 45-minute video of this like whole made up scenario, like as someone that's gone through the journey and made it to the end. And I remember just going, this is really well done, but it's all fabricated. How can I compete with this? Like, how can I physically compete with this when mine's all about, mindset and all these things, like all the sexy stuff that people don't want to, the non-sexy stuff that people don't want to talk about. Because as a business, you've got to solve a problem for a customer or a pain point. And one of the pain points that big people have is that they don't want to cook for themselves, right? I'm sure I'll get attacked for this, but they're lazy in essence, right? And I was lazy as well. And so, at the end of it, the silver bullet to that is, well, we'll just deliver meals to your house, and you just eat what we tell you to eat, and then problem solved. That's not sustainable. And it creates this perception that eating healthy is actually more expensive than eating fast food. And that's not true at all. So I remember just sitting there watching this video, and I broke down in tears because I was overworked. I was stressed. And I was like, I can't compete with this. I give up. This is too hard. And I remember, like, I actually wrote about this, but I actually ended up turning to a tub of ice cream to feel better about myself. And I ate the whole thing. I just remember sitting there, like, just so, like, miserable, crying, just eating ice cream, going, like, this is stupid. I can't do this anymore. And so the next day I woke up and I dusted myself off and just hit the hard work again. So that probably happened like 6 months into the journey.
In this part of our interview, you'll hear why Oscar makes it a point to personally be in touch with each customer and why he believes it's essential to understand the customer's language.
It's this concept of human-centered design. So, and I guess what we call product market fit. So if you're, you know, the old way was just creating products and getting them out there into the world and marketing them and just praying that people would love the products. But in the world of digital, it's really important to have a minimum viable product and then refine the product to your market. And if you apply the philosophies of human-centered design, so what did you like about this? What didn't you like about this? What are the opportunities for improvement? And you continue to rebuild the business to fit your market so tightly that you create an obsessive following of people that just are hungry to consume more and more of your content, because it's much cheaper to get a referral than to pay for advertising. So advertising is great. Like, you've got to have it in a business. But if you can create a movement or a following within your audience base or within your customer base, then that is how to get a truly viral company. And we're not there yet. We're not even close to there yet, but we need to go through the process. So I talk to everyone now. We offer them a really low, low priced book. So it's a series of three books. It's like heavily discounted. It's kind of like the McDonald's philosophy. You know, you come in and buy something, they lose money on that first purchase, but then, you know, they make money on the second purchase. So we offer them something of really high value as they come into our funnel. And then everyone that buys that product, I'll talk to them personally just to get feedback about, you know, what's their experience. And I'll just want to connect with them, you know, just like we did. What's your story? Tell me about you. What have you tried? Like, you know, tell me about your life. And what I found is that a lot of people that go through that are at their wit's end, they're going through some other stuff as well. They're deeply unhappy about something else. They could have been dealing with relationship breakdown. They could be dealing with, you know, troubles at work. Maybe they're depressed because they're getting micromanaged at work. And so whilst someone can overeat and become obese, there's generally something else there under the surface that they're not happy about. And so when you look at that in comparison to, hey, I'm going to send you some meals to your house and you can eat that, it's not a solution that someone in my position and that many people out there, it's not a sustainable solution. It just doesn't work. And zipping a meal in a microwave doesn't really feel that nice, you know, like cooking a meal, sitting down, like, I don't know. Have you ever made a burrito?
But I enjoy the cooking.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm one of the weird ones. And as you're talking about this, I can actually feel that you want to be a part of that process in people's lives, probably because the pain was so visceral for you. And I've looked through, you know, your social feed and seen a lot of pictures from case studies. What does it feel like to watch the lights turn on for someone and see them change?
It's the most rewarding thing. Like, for me, I've always wanted to make an impact on the world somehow. And, you know, that when I had my epiphany and when I watched that webinar, that was like, why don't you just do something that you're passionate about? Because I think the mistake that entrepreneurs make is they go into something to make money. If you take care of your customers, they'll take care of the profits. It's business 101. Like, you have to have the right metrics around that. But if you're obsessed and fanatical about customers, you're going to win. So for me, it's about, well, I do want to change the world. And the only way to do that is to connect closer to individuals and create a real family environment within my community. So I want to push closer and closer to our clients and customers, make their lives easier and make them whole. That's the fundamental principle to my business. Is I want people that are a little bit broken. They come in the door and they walk out being so whole, so fulfilled, understanding mindfulness, being, you know, having, you know, really good self-confidence. And that's why I call it vanity pounds, because like the weight loss is, that just happens. Like if you just follow the principles, that'll happen. But the real part of my business is really focusing in on that mindset and making people happier than when they walked in. And that's what I'm obsessive about.
Coming up, you'll hear why he's building a community, and you'll hear about the next stage of his business.
For me, it's really about building that love within our customer base. So I'm thinking, you know, okay, so maybe I can run not a competition, but for, you know, I'll select a few people at random that come through the process, get their transformation, and host like a cooking school with them. So, you know, they can come, you know, to a commercial kitchen, and we'll just get in the same room and we'll cook. Cause I'm not scalable. Like my time isn't scalable. I can only spend so much time with people. And so my coaches really do a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of giving them that one-to-one care. Cause I really need to be focused on building the business rather than being in it. So the first thing I do is talk to the customers, make sure that I understand what their mindset is, why they bought the program. And I have a little bit of dialogue so I can learn a bit more about them and understand my market better than anyone else. And then number two is how can I connect deeper with them on an emotional level? Because at the end of the day, they're going to go through an emotional journey and they're going to connect with me as being their main mentor and teacher throughout the process. So I really want a way to build a connection with them. So I'm always looking for new ways to implement solutions to be able to do that and connect deeper with the customers.
That's fantastic. So what should I have asked you, or what should we have talked about that we didn't get to?
Oh, that's a hard question. And I know you always ask this, but I never thought about it. We covered a lot of ground. I think the one piece of advice that I'd give to, you know, entrepreneurs that are, you know, really wanting to build a strong business is cut out the whole separating from customers part. Like, get out there. I've run a few businesses and failed, like most entrepreneurs. But it's kind of scary to go out there and talk to a prospect, you know, like, oh, I have this, I'm thinking about this service, would you buy it, sort of thing. But you get little nuggets of wisdom from those conversations, because you can make assumptions. And something we ramp on about in digital design is that as a leader of a business, like I forget what quote it was, but you know, as a leader of a business, you say no authority outranks anyone here. So data makes all the decisions in our business. Data. And if all we have is, and if we don't have data, all we have is opinions, then let's go with mine. So I try to foster a relationship where we all talk and we all have opinions, but at the end of the day, it's all about the data. So if you're an aspiring entrepreneur and you want to start a business, get out there and get the data. Talk to your customers. Go really narrow on who your market is. Talk to them and understand everything about them. Pains, needs, concerns, before you even begin to build a product. Is until you know that, then you shouldn't be building a product, because you can spend 80% of your time building a product and then you will take ages to launch because you're now doing the data collection process. If you just talk to the customers first, understand them, get your message right, it will make your business's ability to scale much quicker.
Okay, great.
And listen to Spencer's podcast. I mean, gosh, so much like wisdom in there. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. How can our listeners connect with you and say thank you and follow what you're doing?
Yeah, so Twitter's good. That's probably the only social channel that I kind of run full time. I've got my team running the other stuff. I jump on Instagram a bit as well. So on Twitter, I'm Fat to Fit Foodie, and on Instagram, I'm Fat to Fit Foodie Coach. So yeah, reach out, say hello, and I'd love to help if this resonated with you.
Definitely. And in the show notes, we'll make sure to put a link to your website.
Okay, awesome.
so that people can access that there. And I want to say thank you for sharing what it's like to be a person that's creating transformations and a person that's helped people's lives and is continuing to do that. More power to you. Thanks for being a guest with us today, Oscar.
Thank you so much, Spencer. Thanks for having me.
Sometimes as we grow our businesses, it's easy to forget what it feels like spending time with individual customers, especially if we're selling products or information online. I challenge you to take a moment and connect with the people that keep you in business. And you might be surprised. Maybe they'll give you an idea for your next business breakthrough. That's it for this episode of Business Growth. If you like the show, we'd love to hear from you by reading your reviews in your favorite podcast player. You can always reach out to me on Twitter at Spencer Shaw, or you can send me an email, Spencer@businessgrowthpodcast. And I read and reply to every single one of those emails. So this is Spencer Shaw, and thanks for spending time with us today.